The cases of the Maldives, Morocco, and Pakistan. By Mangalanama CVM. Aero Program Manager, Information and Communications. Email, mangala@aero.org.my. The rise of extremism. Almost every religion in the world is witnessing the rise of an extremist minority that exploits religion to justify intolerance, oppression, and violence. This trend is prevalent in Asia and is not exclusive to any one religion, as seen in the rise in fundamentalism and extremism of Buddhism in Myanmar and Sri Lanka, Catholicism in the Philippines, Hinduism in India, and Islam in Bangladesh, Indonesia, the Maldives, Morocco, and Pakistan. The core of this trend is not so much any one religion or religion as an institution, but rather the pervasiveness and interlinking of ethnicity and religion as an identity marker and the dominance of the religion in these countries. Extremist voices dominate society using tactics commonly found throughout the world: fear-mongering, political interest, economic control, and the imposition of particular understandings of religious texts. Religious language becomes political language, as religious content is used instrumentally to advance political goals. Those advocating fundamentalist and extremist positions, be they state or non-state actors, continue to be influential and prevalent not because of their ten divine standing, but for the way they have used and manipulated state power, or power of the political majority to further their vision of a perceived social order with the use of religion as their main tool. Point 1. This article draws upon the key findings, recommendations, and ways forward from studies done by partners of Asian Pacific Resource and Research Center for Women, AERO, in the Maldives, Morocco, and Pakistan. Too, it aims to unpack the influence of the rise in fundamentalism and extremism, as well as the narrow interpretations of religion on sexual and reproductive health and rights, SRHR, in the Islamic context, with a specific focus on access to family planning and safe abortion services. While analyzing the different ways religion influence and poses a challenge to the fulfillment of SRHR for all, we saw a pattern in these three countries in terms of access to family planning and safe abortion services. The country study in Pakistan 3 explored the impact of extremist and fundamentalist discourses on family planning in Pakistan, while the study in the Maldives 4 aimed to show the prevalence of belief and perceptions about Islamic principles on family planning in the country. On the other hand, the Morocco 5 study focused on generating evidence on the nature and consequences of unsafe abortions in the country to understand how religious fundamentalism prevents adequate policies and practices for safe abortion services there. These three countries were chosen for this article because they share some commonalities. These are countries with a majority Sunni-6 Muslim population, their legal system is heavily influenced by their histories of colonization, British legal system for Pakistan and the Maldives, and the French law for Morocco, and by various interpretations of Islamic law, Sharia 7. In Pakistan, Islam is the state religion and all laws in the country need to be in accordance with the injunctions of Islam as laid down in the Quran and Sunnah. The constitution also provides for the creation of institutions, such as the Shariat Court, to channel the interpretation and application of Islam. In the Maldives, Islam is the official and only state religion, and the legal system is a mixture of Islamic law and English common law. Morocco is a constitutional, democratic, parliamentary, and social monarchy. Since its independence, Moroccan law has been shaped by French civil law and a combination of Muslim and Jewish traditions. The constitution of Morocco has also played a pivotal role in shaping legal systems in Morocco. Another common factor that governs the religio-political landscape of these countries is the growing trend of fundamentalism and extremism. The Morocco report observes that the Arab Spring of 2011 was instrumental in changing the landscape of the Middle East and North Africa, MENA, region. This was evident in Morocco as well, with widespread changes in the political, economic, and social demands of the people and a growing influence of religious fundamentalism. As for the Maldives, although Islam had been practiced in moderation in the past, there is a growing presence of fundamentalist movements within the country with tendencies towards jihadist ideologies. Point 8. Many believe that the culture is being progressively Arabist, or Wahhabist. 9. and the Salaf Jihadi ideology is garnering popularity among the youth. 10 in Pakistan, Islam, which is traditionally used to be the religious identity of the majority, has now morphed into the central defining parameter for the state and society. The Pakistan study highlights an increase of political Islam, which resulted in a variety of Islamist movements, ranging from militant, known as jihadist, to social reform ones, known as Tablighi Jamaat or Dawah, during the last two decades. Influence of religion on SRHR and its gendered impact. The resurgence of religion's influence in public and political spaces reinforces the patriarchal attitude that validate male dominance and control over women. Women's bodies, their sexuality, reproductive 11 systems, and rights, and familial and societal roles are used as a prop in the religio-political feud that these groups stage. Women become sites upon which various versions of religious scripture/tradition/law are elaborated and contested. Women's bodies are often conceived of as belonging to society and the family, and women are seen as the bearers and reproducers of culture and tradition. Therefore, a woman's assertion of her basic rights is condemned as a crass display of selfish individualism, which is deemed to be an abandonment and betrayal of her family, community, and, quite often, religion. 11. A woman's assertion of her basic rights is condemned as a crass display of selfish individualism, which is deemed to be an abandonment and betrayal of her family, community, and, quite often, religion. In particular, SRHR remains a contested subject in these instances for a number of reasons. This includes conflict over the appropriate role or influence of religion in public and social policy making, which in turn has become exacerbated by the influence of fundamentalist views and extreme interpretations of religious. 12. The International Conference on Population and Development Program of Action, ICPD POA, 13 recognizes that realizing the right to reproductive health is a critical element of guaranteeing reproductive rights. As we move forward with the implementation of the Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs, it is pertinent to examine the role and influence of religion in countries like the Maldives, Morocco, and Pakistan as a barrier from realizing the SDG target of ensuring universal access to sexual and reproductive health care services. How would this impact on contraceptive service provision and uptake, national family planning policies, information and education, and the integration of sexual and reproductive health into national strategies and programs by 2030? With a population of about 182 million, Pakistan has one of the highest fertility rates in Asia, and one of the lowest rates of contraceptive use, resulting in poor reproductive health indicators for women and high neonatal mortality. 14. In the early 1990s, Pakistan's contraceptive prevalence rate, CPR, showed a promising, albeit late growth of 1.6% per annum after remaining extremely low from the 1950s to 1980s. However, this growth spurt was short-lived as the first decade of the new millennium saw the increase in CPR fall to 0.7% per year on average. The Pakistan Demographic and Health Survey, PDHS, 2006-07 found that the CPR had actually fallen and contraceptive use had stagnated between surveys. Figures from the latest PDHS indicate only a modest increase in the CPR from 30% in 2006-07 to 35% in 2012-13. While the proportion of traditional methods users in Pakistan is similar to those in its neighboring countries, 7-9%, the prevalence of modern contraceptive use remains much lower, 26% compared to a range of 43-53%. 15. Although a direct and immediate correlation between the rise in fundamentalism and uptake of family planning could not be clearly established through the study in Pakistan, existing literature suggests that opposition from religious leaders or the perception that family planning is un-Islamic has been a deterrent. 16. There is evidence that resistance has emerged from local-level religious clerics, as well as national religious leaders, both at the ideological level, by interrupting service provision. In the Maldives, family planning and contraceptive services have been provided via health facilities throughout the country since the child spacing program was introduced in the 1980s. However, the unmet need for contraception is at 28% and 16%. 120F conceptions among married couples was reported as unwanted and 19.8% as unplanned. 17. The Maldives STUDY4 concludes that the varying stance on family planning and SRHR in the country is largely due to a combination of several reasons: religious scholars' personal beliefs clouding their religious advice, literal and incomplete interpretation of Islamic texts, and pervasive misinformation provided by some groups that may not be in line with Islamic principles. The studies in the Maldives and Pakistan indicate that opponents of family planning and contraception often support their rejection on the narrow interpretation of the Quranic verse "Kill not your children," on a plea of want, "We provide sustenance for you and for them," Q6:151. Most schools of thought agree on alazal or withdrawal before ejaculation, as an acceptable measure, but not necessarily in all the same circumstances. 18. The withdrawal method, as defined by the Hadith 19, dismisses any agency for women in the decision-making process and therefore does not allow for a rights-based approach to contraception. The danger of allowing public health policy making to be guided by literal and such rigid religious interpretation needs to be pointed out here, as these verses can act as a double-edged sword in that proponents may point to the verse as a basis for allowing the withdrawal method and rejecting all other methods. Another common deterrence for the low uptake in family planning and contraception is attributed to another hadith from Prophet Muhammad, which describes a longing to see a large ummah. 20. They claim that a large population is ordained by the religion and the failure to strive towards it is a deviation from the right path. The same justification is also used as the basis of the argument against abortion as seen in Morocco. 21. These verses in fact were revealed to forbid the pre-Islamic Arab practice of killing or burying alive a newborn child, particularly a girl, on account of the parent's poverty or to refrain from having a female child. Abortion is largely prohibited in Morocco and is only allowed to save the life of the mother with spousal consent. Abortion is especially inaccessible for unmarried women who become pregnant, as sex before marriage is illegal under the penal code. Therefore, although maternal mortality has seen a decline in recent years, it is still a challenge at 121 per 100,000 live births in 2015. Unsafe abortion is one of the main causes of these deaths. The study also found that the leading cause of abortion in the country is unwanted pregnancy, DHS 2011, caused by the failure of contraception and the lack of access to contraception for non-married women, including young people. Increasing rates of adolescent pregnancies is also believed to have an effect on these abortion rates. A key pattern that has emerged from these researches is that the absolutist approach and a narrow interpretation to religion that we are witnessing becomes problematic when it enters the public sphere and starts influencing public policies, in this case, policies related to SRHR. In Morocco, the Malikiyya 22 doctrine is predominant and the Maliki fiqh applies to family law and local tribunals that govern customary law. Policy decisions and actions are strongly influenced by Islam and religious notions of acceptability. In the case of abortion, much of the Islamic perspective is based upon the understanding of the process of fetal development. According to strict interpretations of the Quran, abortion is forbidden as it considers all killing as condemned and Allah has made all life sacred. A key pattern that has emerged from these researches is that the absolutist approach and 13 a narrow interpretation to religion that we are witnessing becomes problematic when it enters the public sphere and starts influencing public policies, in this case, policies related to SRHR. It enables select and powerful groups, who claim to be sole custodians of religion, to ignore and condemn any diversity of belief and practice that exist. It also facilitates their efforts to create and maintain the notion of a monolithic, powerful, homogeneous people, a particularly potent formula in Islam, with its appeal to preservation and unity of the worldwide Ummah. Based on findings from these three countries, it is evident that the impact of fundamentalism, extremism, and narrow interpretation of Islam on gender and SRHR is largely a function of the political context in these countries, one that is less about the religion itself and more about the need for assertion of power of select groups. Ways forward. If the Sustainable Development Goal target of universal access to sexual and reproductive health care services is to be achieved, then efforts need to focus on using a human rights-based approach that focuses on the promotion of women's health, rights, and empowerment with no or minimal influence of religion. As advocates who work on SRHR and operating within the complex web of power, culture, religion, and gender inequality, we need to adhere to the universality of rights to demand for gender justice and SRHR for all. Our advocacy needs to stress the role of the state in securing these rights in accordance to the UN General Assembly Resolution 60/251, while the significance of national and religious backgrounds must be borne in mind, it is the duty of states, regardless of their political, economic, and cultural systems, to promote and protect all human rights and fundamental freedoms. 23. There is a need to continue to develop our own literacy about the religious dynamics that underpin the range of issues encompassed by SRHR. We cannot afford to dismiss the influence of religion and insist on an approach that overlooks these dynamics, as it can impede a more nuanced approach to realize the very same rights. There is also a need to continuously encourage discourse and conversations that identify religious interpretations, teachings, and values with universally accepted rights lens in order to dispel the myth that concepts like human rights are Western and a threat to religion. As findings from these countries indicate, the perceptions that often guide policy makers and religious leaders may not necessarily be informed by their religious education, but rather by personal beliefs and prejudice. There is potential and need for further research and continued discourse on the issue, including the continued monitoring of the influence of religious belief on such perceptions. Evidence-based debate and dialogue on Islamic perspectives regarding the right to SRHR has to happen, and there is a need to widen the debate to include religious scholars and stakeholders from diverse backgrounds. We must also acknowledge the urgent need to forge alliances with like-minded individuals and organizations that work towards countering fundamentalist and extremist interpretations and providing alternative narratives through media, supporting progressive religious scholars, and providing supporting evidence to religious rulings.